to the Table Talk Podcast, where we have honest conversations and make new friends. Yes, I am not Betsy Thompson, but she is still here. We have swapped seats, so yes. It looks a little bit different today because we want to get to know you.
Yes, so who are you?
I'm Luke Wilbanks.
Yes.
I'm not on staff at Sage My Church, which may lead to some really fun questions and things that I can say because I'm in this seat today and not you.
That's very true.
But here's what happens is that she gets to interview some wonderful people here at Sage My Church on the podcast, but she has never been interviewed. And many of you have asked that I want to get to know Betsy Thompson. Is she just a Table Talk podcast host here at Sagemont Church? And we all know if you go to Sagemont Church, that is not your only role.
That would be such a fun job.
It would be, and it is. And I get to do
that. Yes, it's super
today.
Fun. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
But thank you for joining us. We're going to have a great time here today. We're going to talk about a couple different things, but yeah. We're glad to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. It's a joy to be on this side of the table. It's going to be fun.
It makes it a little bit easier.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. People that sit in this chair usually say, I'm so nervous. And so it's different because I don't know what you're going to ask me.
That's true. I've got some good questions for you.
It's going to be fun. I'm excited.
And I've done some things with Betsy Thompson before. Yes. We've done a live stream, which is usually 5 minutes since the announcements before
that's
there.
Right.
And so that's always fun.
Yes.
And a quick story. It's always fun when I got to do that with different people. Mm-hmm. We always wanted to be a little prepared and, you know, map the analysis and make sure you're prepared for it. When I worked with her, I called her and said, hey, here's what do you want to do? How do you want to set it up? She was like, that sounds great. I'll just show up and be there. And so you're fantastic at just making it happen and going with the flow.
Yes.
And you really do get the honest conversations with Betsy.
Absolutely.
Here,
and it makes me laugh because when we do Five Before, I always know on Saturday evening, I'm going to get a screenshot from Luke of our card with you're going to say this and you're going to say this and you're going to say this. Nobody else does that.
Yeah.
It's Luke. And it's great because you're like, sweet. I'm prepared. Then a lot of us show up Sunday morning, get the card and go, so what order, what do we?
You just figure it out.
And we just go.
Yes.
And so it's very interesting because if you watch ever online service, join us a little bit early and there's always two people kind of just welcome everybody, do some announcements, that kind of stuff.
Make sure when sound is working.
Yes,
and they got
all
their,
the things.
Absolutely.
And it's different people. I mean, it's the same group, but each Sunday you're going to see new faces, you know, as we cycle through. It is so different depending on who you're with.
It is.
It's fun. I mean, and so that's a really...
Changes it up, makes it always fun to work with different people. But today, it's going to be more than 5 minutes because we're going to get to know you.
A little bit. Okay.
We're excited about that.
Thanks.
They have asked about that. So your role officially on the website is Director of Women's Ministry.
Correct.
Tell us what that is. First of all, I'm not a woman.
Correct.
And what if I was not a churchgoer? How would you explain that to somebody?
Yeah. So basically what I try to tell people, women, is if you come onto our campus, if you watch us online and you're a woman, you are a part of the women's ministry. There's no other requirement. There's no other thing. If you're a lady, really 18 and older, because our students and kids have everybody younger than that, 18 and older, you're a part of the women's ministry. And a huge part of that is, yes, there's events, there's things we want to do to make sure that we are encouraging and serving and proclaiming the gospel to the women all around us that we get to interact with. But it's not just events and coming and listening to a fun speaker or getting to do worship. We really want to walk beside you. We want to walk alongside you. We want to encourage you in your walk with the Lord so that you are a different person than when you walked in or when you showed up online and you're further down the road in your relationship with Jesus. And so everything we do, sometimes it looks like a really just fun party.
But there is fun.
It is a really fun party.
We
have lots of fun parties. We do lots of really fun things for sure. But there's always an underlying layer of really the motivating force of everything we do is we want people to grow in their relationship with Jesus or maybe meet him for the first time,
absolutely,
which is super cool. And so, but we like to have fun.
Yes.
While we're doing it.
You're fun. You get to connect and
yes.
get closer to Jesus.
Yes.
Sometimes with the connections of the people you get to meet here.
Absolutely.
And this is a large ministry. This is
yes.
probably one of our biggest ministries here at the church. The women, you're just doing it right.
Thank
leading
you.
That, and we appreciate
Thanks.
That. And
it's
hopefully
a lot of
you encourage
fun.
Her if you see her in the hallways, just going, wow. Because women, they need to have that connection.
Yes. I mean, it is a huge piece of women just in general is to have community and have connections and listen. And it's one of those things. If you want to be known, you have to be willing to be vulnerable. And our world makes that really difficult because every single person at some point in your life, you've been vulnerable and you've been hurt.
Well, in church, it's probably even harder, right? Because you're supposed to look
the
like
expectation
you have it
all together. Is different. Yes, yes, you yes. Have to have it all together. And the expectation in a church, so often, which y'all is so wrong, is that the people inside the church aren't ever going to do anything wrong.
Right.
And it's just not true. We're still sinners saved absolutely. By grace. We just happen to be in a church. And so the expectation sometimes sets people up for even more hurt and disappointment. And the thing I tell women is I'm like, even if you've walked through that, which so many of us have, mm-hmm. it is worth doing it again. It's worth being vulnerable again. It's worth taking the risk again to have the relationships with people that will hold you accountable, that will laugh with you, that will cry with you, that will bring you food when you need help, that will show up at the hospital, and having those relationships established before you're really in need of them.
Absolutely.
Is so important. So take the risk, do the thing. Meet somebody, talk to people.
Find some people that help yes. you through something. We don't want to yes. find it through the crisis moments.
Right, yeah.
You want to have that group there, and the women's ministry is a great place to start.
Absolutely.
If I'm sitting on the couch listening yeah. to this, and I want to be a part of it, and that maybe resonated with me that, mm-hmm. I need to be vulnerable, maybe I haven't before, what would you recommend? Where would they start at the women's ministry? An event or a connection? Where would you encourage them?
And it really depends on the time of the year.
Okay.
Because sometimes there's certain things that I'd be like, hey, if you want one-on-one relationship, be a part of the Beside ministry. But to jump into the Beside ministry, there's only a couple of times a year.
And what is the Beside?
Okay, so our Beside ministry is our mentoring discipleship one-on-one ministry where we help people find that person.
Okay.
So we actually, you fill out an application, we match you with somebody, you stay with them for 6 months, meet once a month, face to face at least once a month. Usually people do more than that. And most of those partnerships end up lasting a lot longer than 6 months. But it really is that personal one-on-one connection of somebody that's further down the line pouring back into somebody that's saying, hey, I need somebody to pour back into me.
And they're usually involved at Sagemont already, so they could help them.
Yes, 100%.
Where the next step.
Yes, our mentors are Sagemont members. Our mentees don't have to be. We like that. We've over the years seen that works a little better, but they don't have to be. And it's such a neat ministry, and it really, really, really helps with that connection piece. And because you are one-on-one, immediately being vulnerable with somebody to build that relationship. But again, that door to that ministry only opens a couple times a year. When y'all get to listen or hear this, Holiday Celebration is coming
up.
That
is big, right?
Which is a super fun ministry. Now, the way you do Holiday Celebration can look vastly different. And if you are walking into this going, I want to meet people, and you're going to come to Holiday Celebration, a couple of things. Talk to people. Walk up and introduce yourself to people. Do not sit by yourself. You have to be super purposeful when it's that. I mean, because our Holiday Celebration is 1,000 ladies. It's a really big event. It's so fun. It's another one of those that is.
And it's set up to where you can mix and mingle and
absolutely.
Talk and move around and stuff like
yes,
that.
Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic.
It's very easy to do that if you just take the step of doing it. And then all throughout the years, we have different events you can jump into and different things. Check social media. Check the bulletin. Look for those opportunities. Getting involved in a study is another really good way to get to meet people. We have women's studies on Tuesday morning and Wednesday night. A lot of those break up into small groups. They last for 10, 11, 12 weeks. You really can build community and relationship in those. And then, of course, our connect groups on Sunday morning. We have women's groups. We have men and women's groups. I mean, there's tons of different ways. But again, being willing to do the kind of maybe scary thing to step into some of those groups when you're like, I don't know anybody, step into them. And then this is what I always say to students and kids, but I'm going to say to the women, if you do that, or you're about to, or you're super scared, please call me. Call me and say, hey, I bought a ticket to Holiday Celebration. I haven't ever done anything with women's ministry. I'm showing up, but I'm scared to death. Call me. Like, tell me that. I will have somebody waiting at the door to meet you, to walk around.
Nice.
Like, we don't want you to show up and walk away going, well, that felt not great, or that was hard, or whatever. Call me. I'm a huge resource. I love to talk to people. I love to hang out with people. Call me and I can help.
And that's really true. I've seen that,
Yes.
And you can find people that want to do that.
Absolutely.
As well.
We have so many women that want to.
Right.
And I'm kind of the link of like, hey, this person's brand new. You want to really love on somebody. I get to help link them together.
So what you're saying is there's no excuse to not get involved, whether you want to start at a big event and kind of go, okay, I just want to go to a big event, mm-hmm. see the big deal, see what's going on, or if I want to be one-on-one, depending on time of the year, to be a part of that. Because everybody's different how you want to get involved. I think about my brother. He and I are very different. Mm-hmm. I'm one that I kind of want to just go in and be behind the scenes a little bit and just kind of experience it on my own. Mm-hmm. If someone comes up to me and says, hey, I want to, you know, introduce you to everybody, I'm like, oh, I just kind of want to, you know, get my feet wet a little bit. My brother is one that when he walks in, he wants to be noticed and say hi, you know, and everything like that. So no matter how you are at Sagemont, we can get you in, especially in the women's ministry.
Yes. There's so many different ways. Excellent. And serving, jumping in to serve. There's lots of, I mean, that's a huge way to meet people.
Yes. Serving. That's one of the best ways. Mm-hmm. You get to serve, use that's your talents, and also get to meet other people.
So. Absolutely.
All right. Women's ministry. Let's talk about salvation.
Yes.
More importantly.
Yes.
How did you get saved? Come to Jesus.
Okay. So, I grew up extremely blessed in a home where my parents loved the Lord, and took us to church and did all the things. I grew up in the Methodist church in Alvin. My parents are still at that church. And, I was 8 years old and at Alvin High School's auditorium, Carmen came.
Carmen.
Do you remember?
I know who Carmen
Listen,
is.
Listen, I know a lot of people are like, who the heck's Carmen? Google Carmen.
Yes.
Christian artist in the 80s.
Yes.
He was a deal. He was a deal. There's still some of his stuff I like to go back and listen to.
I remember the video on the
there's some really good stuff from Carmen. He was so fun. I used to listen to him in my backyard and dance. I mean, he was so fun.
Are there any home videos of that or anything?
No.
Okay, all right.
No. Absolutely not. Thank goodness these weren't around back then. I'm super thankful. The videos of that are on like either a reel.
And they're not getting out, right?
We don't Nobody knows what to do with those anymore. Or even the VHS that who...
Yes.
Anyway.
Hey, some people have those. Oh, we still got some VHS.
Hello, right here. In my house. It's the only way I can watch my kids on video, because that's how we videoed. That's like, true. We had the teeny tiny VHS in the camera, and then you took the teeny tiny VHS. And then it clicked into the bigger VHS, so you could put it in your... We were watching those, like, a couple weeks ago. I was like, I should probably do something with these. Because eventually.
And that's crazy because you're only like 25 years old. How does that work?
He's very sweet. I'm in my last year of my 40s. What? I don't know how I feel about it. I'm adjusting.
But you seem like you're okay.
It's fine. Yeah, birthdays don't bother me like some people, you know. Okay. But it is interesting even just to go, it's my last year of my 40s. That's it. Of like a marker. It's interesting. Awesome. But anyway,
all right, back to salvation. Sorry. Carmen
concert. And at the end, he shared the gospel. Mm-hmm. And I can I can visually remember it. I can remember where I was sitting. I can remember my friend I was sitting next to. It was very emotional. I'm a super emotional person. So it was very emotional to me. And my friend sitting next to me said, hey, what's the matter? I said, I'm not 100% sure, but I think I need to do what he was talking about. And I love this sweet friend. She leaned to me. She goes, you need to go home and talk to your parents.
Oh, excellent.
And I was like, okay, that's what I'll do. So I remember I got home and I remember my dad picking me up and setting me on the island in our kitchen and us having this whole conversation about what does it mean to know that I need a savior? What does it mean to know that I'm a sinner and all of that? And so we went through the whole thing. We prayed together. It was so great. I mean, I remember it so, so well. Interesting, in the Methodist church, I was sprinkled as a baby and, you know, did a confirmation as a 12-year-old and did all of those kinds of things. And so, but my salvation was very real and I walked with the Lord. Of course, high school kind of all over the place, like in most of it, not everybody, I shouldn't say that. Lots of people, not anything super wacky, but for sure, Jesus was kind of my ride along.
Okay.
Not driving.
Yeah.
The car, not the
back seat.
He was just kind of like, hey, you're here. Cool. Let's do the thing. Make good choices. Do the right thing. That kind of a deal. Went to Texas A&M. Whoop. And that was really where my relationship with the Lord and my walk with Jesus got really cemented. And I think it was because it really became my faith and not just my parents.
It wasn't parents. It wasn't growing up.
Right. It was these, I have choices. As a freshman, I could choose where I was going to invest my time. Yes. And God was so gracious to me and put me with people in the right situations to choose to grow deeper and deeper with the Lord and people that, had memorized so much scripture.
Nice.
That I was
getting
like,
in the word.
What? How to, how do you do that? What does that look like? What, yeah. You know, and started digging into that. I was in a season at A&M when Breakaway with Greg Mott was growing. It was in the, I think we moved three locations just in my 4 years at A&M. Wow. And while it was really growing, of course it's not what it is today, but, and so I got to sit under Greg Mott every Tuesday night for 4 years. Had a wonderful church there on Sunday mornings where I got to serve and grow, and was part of a Christian sorority where we did life together. And so that so solidified my faith and my relationship with Jesus. And it's that solid foundation that when things are crazy now, I'm able to go, wait, I know who he is. I know where he is. That. Yes.
I like that you have that vivid memory of from the Carmen where you were, the counter.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing a thread where you had people around you. Yeah. Your friend was next to you that said, hey, I think you need to go home and talk to your parents. Your parents were there to be with you. Mm-hmm. You know, just like in the women's ministry, getting to know other people. And so Jesus can save us on our own, right? But it's 100%. Great how he uses other people to help us get to him.
Absolutely.
And so hopefully you're that person to other people if you're already saved. But if you're not, man, reach out to some people, whether it's coming to Sagemont to the women's ministry for the first time or getting to know people. So,
yeah, absolutely.
I like that you have that such vivid memory of when you got saved.
Yeah. I think that's probably, and I guess I maybe have never thought about it, but one of the reasons that I so have a passion for connecting people or being like, it's important for you to be around people is because that is how God has so spoken to me through the years, encouraged me, grown me, challenged me, held me accountable is through other people in my life that God's put around me. And so I'm like, y'all, it's so cool to have that. And so to continue to make sure other people, women, have that opportunity to have that.
And it's important to know that you're not going to connect with everybody.
No.
And I think sometimes in churches, even in organizations, the organization I'm with, I tell them, I said, there's a lot of people that work here. You're going to find some really great people that you're going to have lifelong friendships because you just work together. You have that common purpose. But you're going to find some, too, that you're going to meet. You're going to be like, yeah, we're just going to work together.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's important, too, to be able to go, okay, I need to find people that I can bring closer to me, but also need to know what boundaries I have.
Absolutely.
And go, okay, you know what? We're going to be here for a common purpose and we can walk through that. But I don't have to say, hey, I have to connect to everybody.
Yeah. And I think friendships are seasonal.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I have my high school friends. I have my college friends. I have my young mom friends. I have my, you know, and some of those are some of those have been around the entire time, but so many haven't because you move, because your kids get older, because just different life things happen.
Yeah.
So, but I do want to say, okay, so, Donald. Okay. So my husband's Donald.
Yes.
He and I got married after I graduated from A&M. Almost 26 years we've been married.
Congratulations.
Wow, that's crazy. Fantastic. So fun. Yes. We have a great time together. But so right after we got married, we moved to Missouri, but we'd been married about 6 months and we moved to Missouri to a small little town, Bolivar, Missouri. Love Bolivar. He was coaching and teaching at a university that's in that town. So we moved up there and we started going to First Baptist Bolivar. I'd never been to a Baptist church, just Methodist, non-denominational in college. I just never had been to a Baptist church. And so we start going there. It's the sweetest church. We loved it so much. Some of our friends from there are still like lifers. I'd been going there for about 3 or 4 months and I looked at, no, it was longer than that. It was a year and a half maybe. And I looked at Donald and said, hey, I think I need to get baptized. Huh? I'd never been fully immersed, baptized.
Right.
And he looked at me, he goes, you're 7.5 months pregnant. And I said, that's okay, right?
Like you're correct. Way to notice.
That's, I know. Thank you for realizing.
Good job, Donald.
But it was one of those, I was
hopefully
like,
he wasn't just now noticing.
I don't think I think he didn't know. Yeah. But so almost 8 months pregnant, I got baptized.
That's fantastic.
And it was the sweetest moment to get to do that. And even after being a believer for years and years, to get to take that next step and just going, I need to do this. Yeah. And this is the right time. And so it was that kind of full circle of,
That's really
Let's
neat.
Let's do this thing. Yeah, it was super fun.
And that's encouraging to people to go, okay, what is the next step in your faith? You know, is it baptism? Is it getting saved if you've never done that?
100%.
Ask Jesus into your heart.
Yep.
Or is it getting involved at the church, whether it's serving or becoming part of the women's ministry?
Absolutely.
We can always go, what is that next step we're looking for in our faith?
Yeah, everybody has it.
Yeah.
Everybody has it.
I mentioned Donald, but you've got a whole family.
I do have a whole family. Yes.
Tell us who they are.
Yes. Okay, so Donald and I met my last semester at A&M. He's older than me. He was working. We met, got married. married. We have four beautiful girls. Ashley is almost 24. Allison's 22. And then Madison and Meredith are 18. They're twins. And it's all girls. We have a blast. Nobody say, oh, I feel sorry for Donald. Don't. That's what everybody says. They're like, oh, your poor husband. Poor I'm girls. Like, no, he's so spoiled. And the girls love him so much. And it's so fun. We have a really great time. We just entered empty nesting.
Empty nesting. So they're all out of the house.
They're all out. I will tell you, just yesterday I had my first like weird, like empty nesty thing. Because we've done really well. It's been about 7 weeks. We're getting used to it. We're processing all the things. And it's going fine. So Madison is in Kentucky and Meredith's in Virginia. Okay. So they're not just like away. They're like...
They're spread out.
Away. And so, you know, look, I can't just run by and visit them. And they can't just run home.
Is that a good thing or is that...
Oh, I hate it.
Oh, okay.
I miss them so much. It's good. Like, they are exactly where the Lord wants them to be. Like, for both of them, when we did college visits and sat down in their major with the dean of their major, and I saw the light spark in their face talking to another person that knew their language.
Okay.
Because Madison's doing equine science and Meredith is doing missions, global studies. And both kind of... obscure. I mean, like, you have to have a real passion for those to jump into them as an 18-year-old. Right. And to see the spark and sit there in the meeting going, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. Because you're like, this is where they're supposed to be. It's Kentucky and it's Virginia.
Yeah.
But this is where they're supposed to be. And so love that they're there. They're both doing so good. It's awesome. But I miss them terribly.
Absolutely.
And so it started raining the other day here in Houston. And I looked out the window, like it was, I looked outside and I said, oh, I need to check and see if Madison and Meredith are on the road because it's raining.
That's a total mom move right there.
But then that little twitch of, they're not here.
They're not here.
Look, I'm getting teary. Yes. Y'all, it's a weird deal. Like, it's a so weird deal. Like, I texted them and I was like, okay, weird empty nester thing.
Absolutely.
And, but so it's really good. Like, I'm so excited. And it is holding both.
Yes.
Learning to hold both, pure joy for them and extreme sadness for me.
Absolutely.
And it's just the end of a huge season.
Because that's been your life that for the last,
I mean, for almost 24 years.
You've had somebody that's needed something, whether it's nuggets being cooked in the oven or something deep emotional that you need to walk through. And then now they're on their own.
Yeah.
And you want them to be on their own,
yes,
right?
It's what that's what we do.
Right.
Raising them is to prepare them to go out and be successful humans.
Yes.
And loving and kind and follow the Lord and all of those things. And I'm so blessed to say that all four girls are doing that. And that's awesome. Just beautiful to watch the Lord use them in such cool, mighty ways. And you still get to parent. Listen, parents, just because they're not living with you.
They still call.
You're still parenting. Needs. Yes. It was funny. Madison called me from Kentucky. She was like, hey, I'm calling to ask you something, tell you something. And I was like, okay. She's like,
I
was like, what? And she goes, there's a retreat this weekend with the Baptist College Ministry. So there's a retreat this weekend. And she goes, and I signed up. Should I have asked you? I was like, no, babe, you're good. So even they're kind of in this weird season of.
So like she had that moment.
Yes.
Too, okay.
I signed up and paid the money, but should I have asked permission first? So it's a whole weird world season.
That is really neat.
And then Ashley and Allison are both out of school, working. It's super fun to get them see them being successful in things that they're passionate about and care about and through things. And they live in Belton, so they're like 3.5 hours away.
Okay.
So that's nice.
They're closer.
I can get my hands on them easier. Ashley, my oldest, got a golden retriever. She got a puppy.
Oh, a new dog?
Goose.
Yes.
And
his name is Goose.
His name is
Goose. It's not
Goose.
The breed.
No,
he's not a breed called Goose.
Think like Top Gun, Maverick.
Oh,
he's Goose.
Got it.
And he's the cutest, most adorable thing. We love him so, so much. And so she came to Houston to pick him up over Labor Day weekend. And so they were here for like 3 days. And so we got to be with Goose and hang out. And it was so fun. And then she was going back and she was like, okay, next week I have this meeting because she's works from home. She's a remote worker. And she said, I have this meeting in Austin I have to go to, and it's from like 8 to noon. And can I leave Goose in his kennel for that long? Like, he's a puppy. Is that okay? Do I need to get somebody to come check on him? Literally, this is me. can I get up there? Do I need to make it up there to babysit the dog? I mean,
nothing like a good old grand dog. Is this the first grand dog of
first,
the family?
Yes. Okay,
so first he's grand gonna dog. Be spoiled.
Oh my gosh.
You're drive 3.5 hours and let him out and then come back.
For four, yeah. And I told Ashley that and she was like, Mom. It's like, I don't know. The number of pictures and videos on my phone of this dog. That is I looked at Donald. I said, what are we going to do when it's a human?
Now, did y'all have a dog growing up with the kids when they were younger?
We have four.
Okay. Do you have more pictures of this goose grand dog on your phone than you do of the dogs?
My dogs? Growing up?
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Funny how it changes when it's this.
Yeah. Listen, I love my dogs. I love our four. And it's funny because two of the four that we have at our house now, one is Madison and one is Meredith.
Oh, okay.
I love them tremendously, but they are the girls' dogs, 100%.
Nice.
And so, yes, it's very funny. And then Allison, so my second oldest, Allison, her boyfriend just got a little puppy. And so we love Bandit, too. And so we get to spend time with him. And he's Goose is we call him a land shark. Because his teeth are so sharp.
Okay.
And he's huge and floppy because he's a golden retriever, you know? Bandit is this teeny tiny little fluff ball that just wants to curl there and love. And she buys him outfits.
So definitely animal lovers.
We love,
family.
Listen.
You've got horses. You've got
We've
dogs.
Got all the things. Yes.
It's really, really fun. All right. Give us two pieces of encouragement.
Yeah.
For people that are watching. You're in a unique situation. You're just empty nester for 7 weeks now.
Yep.
How would you encourage those that are empty nesters as well, that mm-hmm. may be struggling with it, you know, from a faith perspective. But then also, how do you encourage folks like myself where mm-hmm. we've got, I don't have girls, but I've got three boys at home.
Yep.
And it's
totally similar.
I'm sure it's exactly the same. But maybe we're like wishing for the empty
right,
nester
sure.
and trying to make it mm-hmm. through some tough moments.
Mm-hmm.
I love my kids. Lots of great things.
Absolutely.
But we have our hard days. So kind of two pieces of encouragement. Yep. One for those that are empty nesters now, one of those that are hoping for it in the future.
So first, for people that your kids are at home, whatever age, they're 2 and 3 and you're barely sleeping through the night, or you've got junior hires that are coming into their own, or kids that are starting to drive, any of that time frame, do the hard stuff. Do the hard stuff. Stay consistent. Hold fast to your rules. Don't make silly rules that are going to wear you and your kid out and are not productive. Don't
make sure
do
you
those.
Can hold them to it.
That's right.
Right. You say it,
that's
make sure
right.
It's gonna
don't
happen.
In the heat of the moment say, you can't have your phone for the rest of the year. Like, don't, because you're not going to do that. And even if you did, it's really more trouble than it's worth, right? Because you want to be able to get a hold of your kid. Don't make those random rules. Be very specific, but then stick to it on the days when you're like, all I do is tell my kid no all day long. Y'all take a breath from it and then get up the next day and do it again. When your kids, when they are older and they're driving, I remember one time Ashley Thompson missed curfew. And
you just called her out.
Her whole name.
she
knows.
She's going to text you
it's
when she
fine.
Watches. She's learned from it. She has grown
Listen,
from it.
Listen, but here's
it.
The deal. She did it one time. And to the point where I went out and drove around.
Ooh.
I knew where she was.
Yeah.
But she wasn't answering her phone, the whole deal. I'm driving out of our neighborhood and she's driving in. And so I spin around and I come back and she's like, hey, what are you doing? I was like, looking for you. You are. And listen, she was like 35, 40 minutes late. It wasn't like she was hours late. But
she's probably at church praying with a group.
No,
or something.
She was at a friend's house down the road. I knew where she was.
Okay.
I totally knew where she was. She's like, my phone died. Not an excuse.
That doesn't else has a phone.
That doesn't work. That's totally your fault. And I heard one of her sisters came back around to me later and said, Mom, I was with her with that group of friends that she was with. And she said, I will never do that again because of the way I saw how it affected my mom. Be honest with your kids that you're not just mad at them.
Absolutely.
You love them. You're worried about them. You're concerned. Yeah. You want them to make good choices now.
Right.
So they will continue.
And they're going to make some bad choices now. They're going to come. They're
going
curfew,
to. Yes.
But it's great that you have that relationship with them to where they realize they disappointed you and they realize how you felt. It wasn't just
Absolutely.
You were someone telling them no their whole life. So great piece of advice.
Yeah. Do the hard things. Take the time. Put the phone down. Stay up late talking with them. If they start talking, you drop everything and you listen.
Okay.
Have that relationship. Do the hard stuff. For those that are in the empty nest season, I don't know. You tell me. I'm still figuring it out. We're barely into this. One thing I've learned, if my girls call, I answer.
Okay.
And I don't end the conversation until they end the conversation. Unless I have a meeting or, I mean, like life, right?
Right.
But I have learned that if they take time to call me, especially the girls in college, my big girls, it's different, but the girls in college, if they take time to call me, that's huge because they have so much going on. They're having so much fun doing all the things. And then I can almost hear the disappointment in their voice if I say, okay, babe, well, it was good talking to you. I'll talk to you later. And so I don't do it.
Yeah.
I will stay on the phone as long as they want to stay
silence,
on the phone.
Silence, no matter what it is.
I'm like,
you hang up first. No, you hang up first.
That is exactly it. I'm like, I'm going to listen until you're done. And try to remember their new friends' names. Try to remember the stuff that they're involved in. Try to ask questions, but not too many questions.
Right. There's a balance.
Oh, it's a weird balance.
You want to be involved.
Yes. And then also, I tell my girls I'm figuring it out.
Yeah.
You know, if they're like, Mom, all you're doing is asking questions. I know, I'm trying to figure it out.
Right.
Like, you're figuring it out, I'm figuring it out. Give me grace.
They're learning their freedom. They're learning how to be on their own, but they're also, you're learning.
100%. I haven't ever been through this with that, you know, and so be honest with your kids, have those kind of real conversations. But then if you have been empty nest or you did it a while back, please tell me. That's one of the other things I would tell people that has been such a huge blessing in my life. I was telling somebody this yesterday. I have always had people in my life that are a season or two ahead of me. And I've got to watch them walk through something. When I was pregnant, I had a friend that lived around the corner that had a 2-year-old.
Nice.
Oh, I watched her like a hawk to learn how to do stuff. Then when I had a little bit older kids, I had kids that were, you know, friends that were a little bit older, a little bit older. Uh-huh. Kelly Holloman, I got to watch her send Lainey to college.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to sit back and watch, what do you do? What do you not do? How is it? How is she holding up? What's the thing? You know, and it's, again, that whole beautiful thing of community and having connections with people.
Absolutely.
You get to see that. And so especially here right now, I have so many friends that are seasons above me. And when I talk about empty nesting or whatever, they go, sweet thing.
You'll make it, right?
You're going to be okay.
Yes.
You know? And I tell them my grand dog puppy, and they go, it's real. Wait till they're humans.
You will go. You will move. You will do the things.
Yeah. Yes, you know? And so having those people a little bit
important to have people ahead of you.
Yes.
And also people behind
pour
you.
Pour back in. Share your stuff.
It seems like we do one or the other really well. Like, yeah. we're good to seek out advice. I mean, some people are like that, but we have some people probably that are good at leading others, but they may not reach out for advice.
Right.
So think about where you are in that moment.
That's right.
Women, men, whatever it is, and see what you need to do on the connection phase.
Do both.
Maybe that's what you do next.
Absolutely.
So I want to ask a little bit about Sagemont a little further in just a moment, but I heard you've been trying to get floors in your house for a while.
How do you even know about that?
Well, I heard, and I'm not going to call any church members out by name, but there was someone that was supposed to help you, and it just, they canceled, or they're just really not being a great church member and helping out the staff.
No, I don't think that's what it is. I think you talked to my husband that maybe was like, please tell her to get floor. Listen, we need new carpet in our house. And Donald has said it is my responsibility because he's like, I want, not like he's being mean. He's just like, hey, you do this. Almost like, this is fun. Go pick car. It's not fun.
You asked for help.
I did. And then someone canceled on you. Well, they.
It's an interior designer that was going to help you.
Oh, no, your sweet wife. No, she is fabulous. No, because honestly, I asked a group of like we were doing discipleship together.
Uh-huh.
And I said, y'all, I've got to get carpet. Y'all ask me next week if I've made this phone call. It's been a year and a half. No, it's been so...
Year and a half.
It's been so long.
So I've got a question about these friends. Have they asked you if you made this phone?
Okay, yes, right. They keep asking and I keep avoiding them.
Everybody, this Sunday,
no,
I want you to come up to Betsy Thompson and ask her if she has made the phone call.
Oh my gosh.
Floors.
Y'all, I've even talked to people that own flooring companies and said, I have to... They're like... Just do it. Just call us. We'll come help you.
Sounds like you have zero excuses.
Oh, 100% zero excuses. This is all on me. It seems so overwhelming because, one, I'm like, what color do you get? That's why I called Betsy, because I was like, I don't even know where to go, because it's a huge, listen, it's going to be in your house for a really long time. And it's a lot of,
it's a big,
it's
decision.
A lot of square footage that you're going to have to live with.
I learned about thread count and sheets when I got married, and I didn't know there were so many colors available.
See, this is your wife and the things that she's really good at. She sees it
more vibrant colors than I do. Yes. All right. Sunday. No. Let Betsy know. Say, have you made that call to get your carpet done? But, all right. Say,
and then I'm like, how do you move the furniture to put the carpet in? Who does that? Do we have to clean out all of our house for them to?
We're going so deep.
Oh my God.
All right, Saints Mont Church.
Yes.
Pastor Levi's been here 9 months.
Yes.
Anytime there's a change in leadership, it can be rocky. It can
absolutely
be good. How are you? How is the staff?
Yeah.
What are you enjoying? What are you looking forward to?
Yeah. You know, it was one of those whenever it was announced that he was coming and who it was and all of that, there very much was a hesitation to fully jump into excitement.
Okay.
Just because of things we had been through in the past, and we were just, at least for me, I was like, seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
We'll see.
And he seems very nice on stage. I'm not on staff, and so
100%.
I don't get to work behind the scenes, but I know that there are people that, you know, they can be really nice when you first meet them, but
absolutely
working for them
can be totally different.
You may have a boss like that where you work for a boss. I'm a boss, and so there may be
people
that
people
work for
me. People do
say that
about
like,
you.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Thank you.
So kidding. I'm kidding. No, I'm totally kidding. They say the opposite about you. They say you're wonderful. No, but it was one of those, and I think in that, some of me felt like, is that wrong? Should I not be like that? But then I also feel like God really gave me a piece of, it is okay to get to know somebody, you know,
absolutely,
like spend time getting to know them. And so Levi has been really good at getting to know us.
Nice.
Okay. He often shows up in my office.
Okay.
And we'll just be like, hey, what you doing? What's happening? What's going on? You know, what's the deal? And or when he sees you in the hall, he'll stop and chat for a few minutes.
Sure.
And so probably one of my very favorite, I have two really favorite things about Levi. One is the guy you see on the stage is the guy you see all the time.
That's fantastic.
He's
that's the biggest. When you see someone that has that much energy and excitement and care and loves for people on stage, you go, can you do that all the time in your job? And it sounds like he does.
He really does. And I will say the last few sermons over the last month or so there, I think, have been glimpses of him that we maybe get to see a little bit more. The intense, the serious, the this is super important.
Absolutely.
If you've noticed that on Sunday mornings, if you haven't, start kind of looking for it. He is extremely passionate about people coming to know the Lord.
Absolutely.
Like, he's not just doing a thing. Like, he's so passionate about that. He's so passionate about people and helping people take their next steps with Jesus to be the best in Jesus that they can be. And so, yes, he's goofy and tells jokes. And sometimes he says stuff and those of us in the, you know, listening go, oh, why did you say that?
You know, one thing I shared with my leadership team was, you know, the caring for people. You know, I grew up in a church where the pastor was the authority figure. He stood at the end of the, you know, the aisle, and you would walk down to him and you would wait till you got there. And just a small little thing I've tried to teach my leaders is, hey, he goes to the people, like not all the way up in the balcony, but as they're coming there, you know, you're waiting, like, is he going to see me? Is he going to say hi? And I've seen him just from time to time, just he walks over and says, hey, I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah.
And you can tell that's just an extension of his heart, what he wants to do for other people.
Which is really cool. Yeah. My second favorite thing about Levi is he's a phenomenal leader.
Nice.
Like, not just in a church, but like leadership, like logistics and how to of leading people.
So not just a big visionary like, hey, this is my idea.
No.
Betsy and everybody on staff make it happen.
No, which is fabulous.
Yes.
He's just so, so good at it. And I think one of the cool things about that is it's what he did for Georgia Baptist.
Absolutely.
You know,
a lot of experience.
Yeah.
That.
I mean, he went to churches and said, hey, how can I help you as a staff grow and learn and all that? And so it's just innate in who he is because it's what he did for so long. Mm-hmm. And so we're getting the blessing of a really great shepherd pastor, but also a huge blessing of somebody that has worked through what are the hard things inside of a church and what do you do to move forward. And so we're getting that blessing of like going to a conference and hearing from some guy that knows leadership really well.
Right.
We're getting that just in staff meetings.
Absolutely.
And so that's been super encouraging.
That is awesome.
And it feels like we're we are taking our next steps as a church and moving down the road. And the other thing I love about him is he's not super fast.
Okay.
He's slower at things. That's a weird, I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but he will have an idea or a thought and he'll let it, and he'll tell everybody. And he's like, but let's wait and see. And then let it simmer.
Okay.
And I love that because the more people that get to be a part of the planning and the thinking and the brainstorming and where are we going and what are we doing, they're bought in.
Yes.
It's the thing they helped put together. And I'm seeing that in the body of Sagemont right now, really feeling like they're a part.
Well, that's that connection piece, getting other people involved. Because sometimes as leaders, we can be guilty of moving too fast and
absolutely
get passionate about this idea and go, oh, let's do it. It's going to be great. And if we wait just a little bit and we get people on board with it, then it can go even further.
Because you don't want to launch something and people are going, what's he talking about?
Yes.
How about launch something and people go, oh, yeah, I know what that is. Let me help you tell. Let me tell five people that don't know what it is. And so he's doing a really good job with that.
Okay. There's some great leadership leaks. That's what I've heard it called, is that you let it leak out a little bit in a purposeful way,
not in an accidental way, to where
people know about it. They're not shocked, and it's a great way to grow the church.
So, it's been good.
Sagemont Church is growing. You can be a part of it. Hopefully you can see what's going on here. If you want to be connected, whether it's in the women's ministry, whether it's in somehow at Sagemont Church, reach out and let us know
on please. That piece.
And so this has been Table Talk Live. We're glad to have Betsy
Luke.
Thompson here.
So fun.
Getting to sit in the opposite chair today.
Yes.
Finally, we got to know your story, your salvation story, and what it is here at Sagemont. So
thanks
thank you so
this.
Much for joining us. We'll see you around.
Bye, guys.
Bye.